what you waiting on? Check checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show, turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium, I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother, make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students, nah. Everyone can do it, do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative, maneuver through it. You know it's fast, surely. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Deli, shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Deli, you know it's facts solid. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony, 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 Tony. Go BBS Radio.
Now to that scandal involving college basketball. 10 men, including 4 assistant coaches at top-tier programs, arrested on corruption charges. ABC's Lindsay Davis is here with the story. And Lindsay, it seems like they were playing a game off the court.
Yeah, exactly right. Good morning to you, Michael. This extensive FBI investigation might as well be right out of a movie. Wiretaps, undercover agents, and informants, all leading to allegations of dirty recruiting tactics and the biggest scandal to rock the amateur sports arena in recent history.
This morning, the NCAA rocked by what the FBI is calling a massive corruption scheme, uncovering the dark side of hoop dreams.
Managers and financial advisors circling blue chip prospects like coyotes.
At least 10 people, 4 assistant coaches at some of the country's elite Division I programs.
Oh, we're back here live on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. Listen, we're live from the Zoo Gym in Fort Lauderdale, off Commercial 1427 East Commercial Boulevard. We getting it in. This is the Tony Sands Show. If you want to chime in us on internet, you can go to bbsradio.com/the Tony Sands Show. But, hey, listen, I got my main man, Polo Dredd. Before we get to Polo Dredd, as you know, the biggest topic right now that's going in sports in America is the NCAA and the FBI and the corruption that is going on with the basketball. What is happening is they're starting to bring indictments down. The FBI has stepped into the NCAA basketball world and shook it upside down. As you heard the soundbite earlier in the show, they are handing down. And when the FBI come in to hand down indictments, guess what? Their rate is 99% when it comes to a home run. Almost, they already arrested 10 guys when it comes to this. But we're also going to get into some youth league football. Been some exciting things going on in youth league football. We have, guess what? One of the hardest hits going on in the industry happened this weekend with one of the guys. When I say one of the guys, it happened hard. Polo Dredd going to get into that. That is the Polo Dredd Hour. But my main man, Ryan Bartow, will be joining the Tony Sands Show later on, talking college and high school football and what is going on with the state of college football, what the state of college football is going on. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. I'm going to leave here because this is a basketball weekend. NCAA, FBI, I don't know who have more alphabets on this thing than anybody. So we're going to stay tuned. Let's go to a quick commercial break. We're going to leave out with some Curtis Blow basketball, and we're coming back with Polo Dredd for the Polo Dredd Hour here on the Tony Sands Show.
I like the way they dribble up and down the court, just like I'm the king on the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley-oop. I like the pick and roll, I like the give and go, cause it's basketball or Mr. Curtis Blow.
Oh, always been my thing. I like Magic Bird and Bernard Kane. And number 33, my man Kareem is the center of my stoning team.
Assistant coaches at some of the country's elite Division I programs, among them, now face federal bribery, fraud, and corruption charges.
Coaches at some of the nation's top programs soliciting and accepting cash bribes.
The FBI says its two-year investigation revealed college coaches taking cash bribes up to $100,000 in exchange for steering NBA-bound athletes toward specific financial advisors and sports agents. According to one of the complaints, a sports agency recruiter was...
We're back here live on the Tony Sands Show, live from Zoo Gym. As I told you, today has been a topic, all week has been a topic of basketball, FBI, corruption, being paid, players being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to be steered to one school. But let's get into youth league football. This is South Florida, and it is the Polo Dread Show. My man Polo Dread is joining the show. What's up, Polo? What's going on, man?
I'm good, man. I'm just maintaining, staying focused with the little league. You know what I'm saying? Seeing what's going on out there with the kids out there that's going, working hard and training very hard out here. On and off the field, so putting in that work. And
Polo Dre, you talked to me off there. You said there was one exciting hit that took place in youth league football, and yeah, I got a chance to see it. And when I say it was a hit of the ages, it was a hit of the ages. Yeah. You was there. Explain that hit to me, man.
I mean, I ain't never seen a linebacker come up and hit a kid and knock them, like, unconscious for, like, maybe, like, 5, 6, 7 minutes on the land now. Like, I mean, wow.
Now, take me through the hit. As the kid, young man came up, laid the hit, what was the crowd doing when that hit
first? Everybody was like, whoa. And then they were trying to say it was head contact, so that's why they showed the video over the internet and the football trash talk.
Bro, it appeared really to be a clean tackle. When I looked at it, It almost was in the NFL where you're getting ready to make a hit, you're ready to go in, and the guy ducked down so low that, I mean, sometimes no head-to-head contacts happen because of the defender and the running back. The running back tends to drop a little low to protect himself, and the defender is coming in at one level, and all of a sudden you got a hard impact, and that's what that appeared to me. It appeared to be a clean hit.
Clean hit, man. That was a knockout, man. Everybody thought he was, like, out of there. Like,
that's what I looked at it, that's what I assumed. I'm like, oh, is he going to get up? But, Polo Dre, let's get into this thing. Let's dig into it. Let's dig in part by part.
Yeah.
Here we are. We named your top five last week of parks. Uh-huh. Let's get into it. Here we are at this state of the game. How do your top five change versus last week when it comes to top parks at this far in the season?
I mean, it's kind of changed and kind of the same because it was last week, man. It was two shocking games that nobody couldn't really believe.
Let's break it out. And we started out with last week. We started out with five. We're gonna start out with five and work our way to one.
Yeah.
Your top five programs, starting out with number five, which is the top five, the best number fifth program in South Florida.
You gotta go with That's a tough one. I gotta go with maybe Ravens. Ravens gonna fall at five.
So the Ravens take a fall from where they was, take a two-step fall from being at last week number three, they dropped to number five. What was the reason for their two flight fall?
I mean, you got a team that's like ranking nationals and never lost. Went to the bowl like every year. You know what I'm saying? It was shocking when Canes came to Miami Gardens, and it was like 5-6 minutes in the first half, the score 25-0, but the game never ended.
What you mean the game never ended?
Because it was an accident that happened on the field, so it's never.
So they called the game. So now in that instance that they call the game, is it a draw? Want the team that was winning before they left out? Do that team win or do they replay that at some point?
Nah, they ain't replaying it. It's Kane's game 25-0.
Okay. Now you speak of the Ravens, and as I'm watching, you know, I dib into you guys' trash talk. I'm watching Rob Mack.
Wow.
When I say I've never seen a stare like that.
Yeah.
What? Describe what was going on with that.
He had blood in his veins, man. I mean, you got to understand, Jeremy and him been going at it.
Okay.
You feel me? You got them boys walking over there. They part, talking junk. They meeting up, selling each other. I mean, Raw say that last year in the Super Bowl, you bought them. Man was in the man scold, but they called it. On like a 1 yard line, and the time ran out. So, Raw Mack built up. He went to go out there and get some boys from Broward, Scott Lake's Park. And
now, how strong is Rob Mack team? Because he has a team of what you call an all-star team of Broward County.
Yeah, man. Nobody out of state, South Florida gonna beat that team. They too big and physical, man. He coaching, man. They coaching, man. Now, nobody beat them boys.
With him being number five, let's jump into what park is number four.
You got to go with Fort Lauderdale Hurricanes.
Wait a minute now. So the Hurricanes drop.
Yeah, they drop.
The Hurricanes drop from being in the number two spot. They take two falls also.
Yeah, they drop, man. They got to drop, man. I got to keep it real, man. They got to drop, man.
Somebody here already said, they said Deerfield number five the Hurricanes number four, so they're right on the Hurricanes being number four in your poll.
Yeah, Hurricane got to be number four. Feel me? I don't feel like Deerfield should be really in my category because.
Wait a minute, hold on. Now Deerfield was in last week's top five. Yeah. Now they gone out of this week's top five just that quick. But let's deal with number four. And then we'll work our way, and then we got to come back.
I got
to
keep it game.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me why.
Why about Deerfield?
Why Deerfield is all of a sudden out of your top five?
I mean, they only depending on 2 pounds.
Okay.
And the reason why, because every year it's always it's always one or two teams in the bowl, but
right.
The one that they most talk about on the internet ain't really biting. Like, I mean, you came in, what, I think they like 2-3,
mm-hmm.
something like that. They lost against Washington Park Bucks. I mean, they ain't got no cheerleaders. I mean, it's a lot of.
So they just completely go out of the top five.
Yeah, I mean.
Because they're depending on two parks.
Two pounds
within the park.
Well, really, it's gonna be one pound from their park gonna be in the bowl, and that's the AU. I give all my respect to the AU. The AU, they're gonna be in the bowl and they're gonna win the bowl. You know what I'm saying?
So the AU is pretty much what's keeping
that part
going.
The AU, keeping them going, and the 9U. I mean, they do a lot of talk about 11U, but that 11U ain't showed me nothing, man.
Nothing.
They combined two parks. They ain't really showed
me. Now, you said they
nothing.
Combined two parks. What was the?
It's Raiders and Deerfield.
Okay. The
Raiders and Deerfield.
So, now, the Raiders would be considered the Bisons from pass.
Nah, not them North Lauderdale Raiders.
North Lauderdale Raiders. Okay.
You know,
okay.
They program
okay.
folded.
Okay. Okay. All right. So North Lauderdale program folded.
So you gotta. It's two parts, like a mystery, because you got when they folded. You know, Big Bubba, he came over okay. to Kane. So it's a lot of kids. It's like Fort Lauderdale Hurricanes. They rebuilding right now.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Right. They rebuilding their program. You know what I'm saying? They rebuilding right now, so they up and coming.
All right, so now let's jump in to number three. Let's see if this thing done got shook up from last week to this week. Let's see who your number three is, best park in South Florida.
Number three, man. I got to go with Washington Park Buccaneers.
So the Buccaneers, okay, the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers hold their number three spot. Yeah, they still hold their number three spot from last week.
I got to go with Washington Park Buccaneers.
Okay, so now what was – Why don't they even rise up, or they stay down, or they drop, but they stay the same? What make them stay the same, stay hold firm at their number three spot?
I mean, they gonna always have a strong team on every pound. You know what I'm saying? And they decent, but I mean, I love the coaching over there. They got good coaching. You know what I'm saying? I love what they doing for the kids. They I love a lot of education they teaching the kids. Putting them in camps and doing picnics and, you know what I'm saying, tutoring. You know what I'm saying? I like that. They got a couple coaches that coach at St. Thomas.
Okay, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a good little program.
Now everybody's waiting on these top two spots of the Polo Dread topic. Top five here on the Tony Sands Show. Everybody's waiting. And let's tell you, let's see could your guest pick out the number two spot. You know, that's following your Facebook followers. How many of you guys think that, which team you think should be number two before Polo Dread get into his number two? And then we're going to get back. But Polo Dread, let's talk about top athletes, top performers. Give me your top three performers from last week's performance.
Oh, you gotta get, all right. I ain't going to, oh, man, that's a tough one, man. You got to give it to the kid, Bullet, man.
Okay.
Number seven. For Ravens loving you. You got to get to that kid.
Okay.
You ain't that's a Ness of Mari Daniels in the making right there, man. Big. I'm talking about big. He remind me of Mari Daniels. Big physical kid. Anywhere he get the ball, he liable to score and run you over and take you to the end zone.
Well, let's just give me your next. Three of them I want to top perform.
You got to get to Dredd okay. from Fort Lauderdale okay. Hurricane.
Yeah, Dredd is a beast.
He do it offensively, he do it defensively, and he go 1,000 every play. He heart of a lion, man. Know what I'm saying? Humble kid. Know what I'm saying? He high school ready right now.
We're going to try to get one of those kids on next week here to show. Yeah. You know, I know they practice around this time, but we're going to interview him here on the Tony Sands Show live next Friday. So you guys going to stay tuned. But Polo Dread, hey, let's not waste no time because they're my producer and them. They want me to jump into this basketball. Let's jump into number two park here in South Florida.
You got to go with you know what? I'm going to shock the rail for you.
Go ahead and shock the rail. That's what everybody waiting on.
I'm going to go with DFL, man.
Oh, so you put them back in. Now, when he told us that they were not.
I'm going to go with DFL.
He's going with the Pack of Rattlers as his number two park.
Because they keep them boys clean, man. And they got, I mean, they got a couple teams they coaching with nothing. Like the 13, everybody underestimate that 13, man. That 13, you DFL, I think they got something to prove, man. So they, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, they gonna shock the rail, man. Just so put now, it like this.
And then let's see if the number one spot changes. Do the number one spot change
it's
from last week?
It's Kansas City Chiefs, man. It got to go to Kansas City, man.
Kansas City Chiefs. It doesn't change. Kansas City Chiefs hold it down. The next week, listen, here we are deep into the youth league program, and Kansas City Chiefs still holding the number one spot when it comes to youth league football here in South Florida. We're live here on the Tony Sands Show with my main man, expert when it comes to youth league football. My main man, Polo Dread, is giving it to you. Polo, listen, just as we talk good, let's talk bad.
Yeah.
What's a program that is probably the biggest disappointment youth league program going into this that had high hopes of being very successful throughout their park, and they're not meeting the expectations?
You got to go a lot of their legs, man. They really You know, that was a winning program since day
Correct.
One.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of good coaches was at that program, like Dave.
Yes.
Coach Mo. You know what I'm saying? Outstanding program. You know what I'm saying? A lot of players like Major Wright came through
out there. A lot of success.
Eddie Frazier, them. I mean, a lot of kids, man. Like Chris Gamble. I mean, I just like
what do you think has happened to where this program, a promising program, all of a sudden has dropped off so much? Is it the rising of new programs throughout South Florida, or is it the changing of the guard when it comes to where kids deciding that they want to go?
That's a good question. I mean, a lot of coaches left the park. Uh-huh. They ain't really promoting them. I don't know why they folded.
Polo Dread, now, like, you know, if we're going to take one of your followers, as my man Eric says, no Ravens in the top five?
I mean, I gave Ravens. I put Ravens in nine.
No. You dropped. No. We went the Chiefs. We went the Hurricanes. We went the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I can't, I mean, it was the reason why I ain't put the Ravens in. They was in my last week, though.
Correct.
It's just a lot of stuff going on at the park. I wasn't feeling the park for this week.
Hey, listen. It is Polo Dredd. This is the Polo Dredd out. He wasn't feeling the Ravens. He is the expert when it comes to youth league football. Listen, Polo. Hey, listen. We got a hit. I got to hit to Atlanta because I got to get my main man. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, play some of that sound bite of Doug. My producer's going to play after we come out. We're going to play DMX. We slipping, and I can't get up. And then we're going to jump into the soundbite of what's taking place in the nation. Corruption. Basketball. Where has the state of basketball gone at this point? Polo, you can keep joining us here. You can sit and ride out with us, man, for this. Listen. Let's go to commercial break, Doug. Take me to commercial break and then come back. Let's play a minute and 29 seconds, Doug, of that DMX, and then we're going to come back with the show continuing.
See, to live is to suffer. To survive, well, that's to find meaning in the suffering.
Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can tear. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can tear.
I've been through mad different phases, like mazes, to find my way. And now I know that happy days are not far away. If I'm strong enough, I'll live long enough to see my kids doing something more constructive with the time than biz. I know because I've been there, now I'm in there. Sit back and look at what it took for me to get there. First came the ball, the drama with my
mind. A sports agency recruiter was secretly recorded saying, if we take care of everybody, we control everything. You can make millions off one kid. One of the schools being investigated, Powerhouse Louisville. The program, led by head coach Rick Pitino, is already on NCAA probation for a scandal involving escorts hired to woo recruits. The school released a statement saying that any violations will not be tolerated and that it will cooperate fully with the investigation. Sportswear giant Adidas is also caught up in the scandal. The global head of sports marketing for basketball for the company, James Gatto, accused of bribing families of high school recruits to get them to commit to colleges where Adidas was a sponsor. Gatto is seen here in an interview with Draft Express talking about molding the next generation of NBA players.
Well, for us, it's building relationships with the younger generation and also to show them what it takes to get to this level.
Experts say this is only the tip of the iceberg.
We're back here live on the Tony Sands Show. My man sitting there with me, my man Polo Dredd. He is the expert when it comes to youth league football. But now I got to travel to Atlanta to bring in my expert when it comes to basketball, AAU, because the state of AAU basketball right now, folks, there is a problem. And as you heard my song DMX playing, they are slipping and they fall and they can't get up. because of the scandal, FBI has just stepped in. And when the FBI step in, guess what? They pretty much got a 99% rate that what they coming to do, they coming to get you. So my main man Maurice Love out of Atlanta joins the Tony Sands Show. What's going on, Maurice? What's happening, man?
What's going on, Tony? How you doing today?
Man, I'm chilling, man. I'm trying to figure out what is going on with basketball.
Well,
what is going on with basketball?
It's crazy. I mean, now it's opened up for a lot of news, a lot of things changing in this basketball Division One and all over the United States. You know, growing up playing basketball in the early 80s, you know, AAU was, you know, just getting started. But the late, early 90s, it just grew to major, major money with Adidas and Nike and stuff. And just, it's amazing how what happened with this going on. You know, I got kids that I'm coaching, and I got my own 14-year-old kid that I'm trying to get him to get into school. And it just, it's rough. I don't understand. You know, we got to do better as in the community, you know, and see what's going on to educate our kids to get, you know, how we get them to play, to get into school, you know?
But, Marsh, let's dig into this now, because, like I say, this thing, and not only that, let's let them know. Now, what's the name of your AAU basketball team there in Atlanta?
Atlanta Hurricanes.
And what made you get back into AAU basketball? Because you are a basketball star here in South Florida, and then you moved to Atlanta. And now, what made you get back into the sport of basketball to coach your own AAU team?
Well, they gave back to me when in inner city with Roosevelt Gray, that I was when I was playing ball. And I say, after I finish, I want to get back to the kids in the community. And just, I love the kids. So, and I want them to work hard like I did to get opportunity to take it to the next level. And, you know, and AAU was just the next level to get, you know, because, you know, you want your kid to be the best player on the team. You want that team to be the best player. You want the best out the program, you know.
And you say you want your kids to be the best, but we understand and we have understood over the years that there's been a problem with AAU basketball. There's been a problem, not so much of a problem of it being coached or something that the problem has come with the things that come with this great life when you're talking about trying to find the best. When one try to find the best, they tend to fall along those ears of that things may go on behind the scenes.
Right.
What has the state, since you played Maurice and you played AAU basketball, what has changed? What has changed from a standpoint of where the kids have gone and how much have been put into AAU basketball?
Well, the AAU basketball coaches with the Adidas, with the shoes business have grown. The high school coaches don't have nothing to say. They have no say so. It is the AAU coaches, the AAU programs are making and having success than the high school coaches. And so the market had changed. When I was growing up, it was just us going to Orlando or going to different places. These kids go all over the United States. You know?
I was in Vegas one time and I saw them go to Vegas. It was a huge tournament in Vegas. Now, we got young men that are pretty much underprivileged. If you look at the average household of most of them household probably is no more than $25,000 to $30,000 a year of income into
Correct.
A household. So now
Correct.
When you're putting
Correct.
Together over $30,000 in income a year, but yet I'm taking 5 to 10 basketball trips all over the country, how
Right.
do you calculate that this kid family can afford that? Because they calculate that the average family spends over $5,000 a year just in traveling in camp. So you wonder, how does this happen when you say this kid here, family's $30,000, but yet until you are traveling to Atlanta, you're traveling to Arizona, you're traveling to Vegas, you're traveling to California, and I'm talking about these trips two, three times in a week because of the way basketball. Somebody had to know that somebody would be watching this thing and that it would be at some point, as anything, any great thing else, that a whistle would be blown somewhere to bring this to the light.
it's been going on for years. It's just somebody got something happened. It's been going on for years that AAU teams and programs are getting the money and other programs getting the money. It's been going on for years. It just now somebody said, you know what? I'm going to stop this. I want to stop everything that's going on because you know why? Because my team can't beat that team. So my team, so I can't get that kid. So my kid I got in my neighborhood, that little in my neighborhood, I know he can play. He'll play on my team. But the other team got the Adidas shoes or the Nike contract. Yes. I'm going to take that kid. You know what I'm saying? There ain't no loyalty.
It's
all about getting the money and getting the show and getting the kids.
But now, the numbers, the amount of money that's being displayed when it's saying that they're paying out some large sums of money for these kids. In order for the FBI, understand this, and I think when this was going on, because the FBI never stepped in when it came to college sports. They never, unless it was a criminal type thing to where someone was hurt or some sexual thing or something like that, and they really don't get involved in that. It's more or less the municipalities that takes care of that. But when you see these large amount of money being moved around when it came to this corruption scheme, they probably thought, okay, as usual, the NCAA will get involved. NCAA has no subpoenaing power. They have no wiretap power. They have none of this. So I can go to you and say to NCAA, hey, I don't know nothing. I don't know anything at all. So if I don't know anything, guess what? You can't force me to say anything because you're not the governing, the alphabet boys, the FBI, and things like that. You're just a governing body over the NCAA. In college, you have no. But now when these big boys steps in, and as you can see in this case, it was corruption. When I say bribery, money being handed to, and as they call them, street runners, supplying, helping, and normally at that level of AAU, how early do they start ranking these young men?
We're going to say around by 6th and 7th grade, they start paying attention to them. By 8th grade, 9th grade is just going crazy. But 6th and 7th grade, you see them. You can see them and say, okay, he's going to be a star, so I'm going to play on this team right here. So I got this team. Right. So you know that the big boys take care of the little boys. You know that, right? So
yes, if I got big fish eat little fish.
If I got 16-year-olds playing, and they got just say Adidas, we can put Adidas out there, and and I got a 6th-grade group that I can get that season. I can get the shoes for my 6th-grade team, so the kids say, you know what, I'm smart to buy Adidas. You hear what I'm saying? So then it's about the name brand. So then they at 6th-grade and 7th-grade, 12 and 13, they get recruited at that age. And then they start growing. Then they start going for. Now you start saying, now you get mad at me, Tony, because I got the team over on the west side, but I took that kid from your team from the east side because you mad because I took your player. So now you say, you know what? Now you got Adidas. It's a competitive. This is a competitive thing. They cheat. You know, people cheat. You got to get what we got to get.
And they're talking about to where they were giving guys $100,000. To decide that he want to go to, because Miami, University of Miami name was in this, Louisville name was in this, but let's get in now, and I bring up Louisville with the record that Rick Pitino had, and we're getting a lot of this from ESPN and things like, but the record of, you got to think a year ago we was dealing with Louisville with the prostitution scandal.
Correct.
Rick Pitino said at that time he didn't know anything. He did not know anything that was going on. Here you are in dorms within the university, and I know from playing college football, you know from playing college basketball, it is hard to keep everything away from your head coach.
Right.
It is so hard. When you got prostitution running rampant on your campus, you didn't know they let Rick Pitino get by with that one. But now, when the NCAA came in this time, and said, you know what, we got some things. And Rick Pitino said at that time he didn't know anything. But then as you look into some of the indictments that was handed down, I'm going to read this. Court records show that Dawkins told corroborating federal witness Marty Blazer, because you got to understand, this thing jumped off with Marty Blazer and some misfortunes of money that was mishandled with the Security Exchange Commission wire fraud when he got hit. Okay, Marty Butler, Marty Blazer said, hey, listen, guess what? Federal witness Marty Blazer, that he would help funnel $100,000 to the Bowens family at the request of a coach, identified at that time as Coach 2. CBS identified Louisville's basketball coach Rick Pitino as Coach 2 on Thursday. And they was talking about Rick and his guy. That's when Rick, I'm quite sure at that time, he knew all this when he said, even I didn't know. Rick Pitino tells his staff at that time, guys, I think I'm going to lose my job. Because he knew at that point, when you're dealing with the FBI, these wiretaps, pulling text messages and all this thing, this thing was more closer to him than what he was saying in the beginning when he said he didn't know. They put him on administrative paid leave. No pay. He wasn't getting no paid leave. He was on administrative unpaid leave. And normally when a university or a program puts you on administrative unpaid leave, that means guess what? Buddy, time is up. You can't sit and say that you didn't know anymore. And then, as you say, it was 10 other guys. One of these guys was a local guy here in, Lamont Evans, technically, is from South Florida. He's a Deerfield guy. And then I'm quite sure now, Maurice, and I'm going to let you close out with this because I know you're getting ready to watch that Hurricanes game. But tell me this now. How many AAU coaches around the country you think at this point is running scared?
Oh, thousands. We nervous. It's nervous out there because names going to be thrown out there. University's going to throw it out there. It's not over with. The whole collegiate basketball is going to change after today.
Yes.
Now it's changing. But now,
does it change for the better? Or does it, you mean from the change of getting restricted? Listen, does it change back to the old where we let these guys go as come out of high school? We go back to the old and say, guess what? You can come out of high school and go to the NBA because it reminds me of the dope game. Okay, you closed down when the feds busted a house over here. Within another week later, guess what? It opened up on the other side.
So
They closed this down, but how much of other things are going on? And like I said, we'll say, okay, shut down the Carter. Remind me, shut down the Carter until, guess what, till the smoke clears, and then we're back at this. Because guess what? There are still players that's got to be bidded on. And now these guys are understanding that Joe Moe last year took $100,000.
Correct.
Me coming out this year, I'm higher ranked than him. I can't take no less than $100,000. And I know you got it.
Right.
Now the pressure goes back to that coach to try to find that money to bring that kid in. A lot of programs now, do we see the changing of the guard to where this program, college programs become a little leveled off now for a while? Because guess what? I can't pay you guys. You see what's going on? The FBI's behind this thing, and we don't know who's talking. We don't know who's talking.
Right.
Does that change a little bit?
Yes, it does, because I want to go to the NBA. The kids who's playing AAU ball and getting paid for those shoes, they know. See, you got to understand something. I go to Louisville with Adidas contract, and then my Adidas contract going to take me to the NBA. So they put I'm investing that money into you, not only as a seventh grader and not as a high school student, not a collegian, as also as an NBA player, professional player.
Correct.
So things change now. So now we got to see at AAU coaches. Now they're going to pay attention to all the universities and see what they're giving to these kids.
What's going
to
happen?
Who's lying? You know, what's going on? You know, because it's going on for years, Tony. Nothing changed. It's just now.
Yeah.
It's getting more money. And somebody said, I'm tired of it. I'm getting a last end. I don't like it. And my kid is not getting it. And some kids, they spoil kids. And they felt like, I'm going to tell it all, too. You know, it just is a part of what we're going through.
This thing will take legs. It will take legs. Marsh, man, listen, I got to hit my main man, Ryan Bartow, is also on the island. We're going to talk football. Now, I've gotten a call, and this is where I'm going to switch gears. I've gotten a call from some people that are saying, guess what? South Florida football, don't be so sure that this does not tap into your world. 707. Marsh, man, thank you for joining the show, man. Listen, we got to dig this deep into this because I want to spend a show numbered on this basketball thing. So I'm going to call you tomorrow, and we're going to dig deeper and deeper and deeper into the corruption that may have dropped basketball to its knees. Thank you, man, for joining the show, brother.
Thank you, sir. All right, Tony.
All right, buddy. Okay. Hey, without further ado, let's jump into high school, college football. My main man, Ryan Bartow. Ryan, what's going on with you, man? Let's jump into this thing.
You're looking live from Atlanta, Georgia, baby. I'm here with my main man, Cameron Fordham, the top talent manager in the country. And we're actually heading out to watch some Hurricanes and then watch the top offensive coordinator in the country, T. Martin, take it to Washington State after that. It should be a good doubleheader tonight, buddy.
Ryan, that's what I'm saying. You say, and you in the peach state of Atlanta. Ryan, what's going on in Atlanta? You got Georgia Tech sitting there. You got, you got Georgia in the great state of Georgia. Give me some upside on what's happening with the landscape of Georgia Tech and where they're planning to go in and how far can they go in the ACC?
Well, they were one option pitch away in the opener against a struggling Tennessee program from being undefeated. And I think they'll roll pretty good tomorrow. They got a banged-up North Carolina program coming in where they should probably be able to call their number. I mean, the 58 is the over-under. And Georgia Tech should probably get about at least 42 of that themselves. So Paul Johnson may not like what he runs, but it's highly successful, and he's going to win 8 or 9 again this year and be a tough team for everybody to prepare against.
All right. And when we look at – when I'm looking at the landscape of Georgia Tech football, I look over Georgia Tech football and – how long do you think that kind of offense will ever win a national championship?
Probably not anymore, but I think that's an offense that a lot of people probably should implement, even our friends at Nebraska, just because it's going to compensate for not having personnel. You compensate through scheme, and Georgia Tech's won consistently with it. They won an ACC title over Clemson about 7-8 years ago with that. And Navy, their coach, is winning 10 games a year doing it, and that's why he's probably positioned himself as a candidate this offseason. And, there's places around the country and states that only produce 4 or 5 D1 guys, and you have to compensate for that lack of local talent through scheme. So it's something that me and you both grow up playing and watching, and one of my favorite things in life is the triple option. And you know what? It's hard to defend. And when it's humming, it's a thing of beauty.
Correct. Now, we look at this week. They face a North Carolina team. How do you see that game there playing out between them and North Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, North Carolina has got 11 starters out, 9 for the season. They've been banged up. They gave up 706 yards to Louisville a couple weeks back. I think Georgia Tech is going to control the ball. They're going to slice them up. It's hard to prepare for that in 1 week. North Carolina runs a tempo offense. They'll score their share of points, too. I think it could be like a 42-30, 42-24 kind of game.
And when, Ryan, like you said, you're going out to watch them Hurricanes play tonight. The Hurricanes play Duke. Is it... this point of the game of the Hurricanes saying, you know, hey, listen, we got to make our claim. If we're going to make a run, we got to make that run now as we enter into the ACC. Because guess what? They would have entered the ACC September 16th, but, Hurricane Irma stopped that. So now this is their first ACC challenge. Do they got to make a big splash to make people think that they're back when it comes to the ACC?
Well, I think that splash will come next Saturday night when they go into Tallahassee and lay it on them pretty good. But tonight they get all the eyes on the country against a really good Duke team that's 4-0 that David Cutcliffe keeps winning at a place where everybody said you can't win with their high academics and kind of lack of interest. And Cutcliffe's a guy that will be in the equation again when this Tennessee job is about to open up, which could happen sooner than later. Might even happen by the time I'm there on Monday. Who knows? So, you know, I'll be in Knoxville Monday. I can't say everybody else will be, but
Rocket Talk, you'll be at Rocket Talk.
Yeah. So, you know what, Tone, though, this week was really highly productive. I got to visit with the staff at four programs, UCF, Florida, Georgia, and the national champions, Clemson Tigers. So got to see kind of, you know, behind the scenes and how everybody operates in their personnel department. And it was, you know, a good run the first of 6 weeks like that.
Now, Ryan, tell me this. You say you visited Clemson, you visited Central Florida. You visit all these programs. What are some of the things that you are seeing at these programs that have boosted, just say, South Florida. Let's look at South Florida. What has taken South Florida from where it was to where it is at this point?
Well, I hadn't got to Tampa yet. That'll be in my last week on my way home. But Central Florida, I could not be more impressed with the direction in the future that Scott Frost and his staff, Eric Chenander, Mike Cassano, those guys have that program in the right direction. Remember, they inherited a program that was winless in the previous regime. Last year they won six. This year they're going to get more than that. They just rolled Maryland pretty good. And their best teams are going to be in year three and year four. All their best players are freshmen, sophomores. They run an up-tempo, no huddle, no mercy offense. They run a really aggressive 3-4 defense. Those are what kids want to play in. But what impressed me the most there is the proximity. Your football center is right next to your on-campus stadium, which is right next to your indoor facility, right next to your player dorm, right next to they're putting in a lazy river. It's almost got a resort-type feel to it. And this is a campus, 60,000 people, 36,000 ladies go there. A lot of things to like there. You can get kids in. You can recruit JUCOs. You can probably get 90% of your roster within 5 to 6 hours of campus. I think it's a sleeping giant. And I think it's a program, if they do it right, they're going to get a call from the Big 12 saying, hey, we need two extra teams to finally have 12 in this conference. And the Orlando market and that program, it just drips of upside. It really reminds me a lot of the Arizona State program.
Now, Ryan, you talk about how long, you know, when you look at this, how many other programs that, let's talk about a Clemson.
Right.
What is it like visiting Clemson when you step on the campus of Clemson?
Well, Clemson is a place that I spent 7 years at, and when I worked back for a company, Rivals.com. So when they had success like that, that didn't surprise me because you're located in D-line heaven, and you attach that with a spread tempo system and one of the best college quarterbacks ever, Deshaun Watson, you're going to have a shot to win it all. And they almost did 2 years ago. Last year they made good in the redemption song. And now it's changed a lot in the last 4 years that I've been there. The facility they put in, their football facility is unbelievable. Nobody in the country has one like this where their whole operation, outside of just maybe their academic tutoring, is all under one roof. I'm talking training facility. I'm talking they have everything from a putt-putt golf course to a basketball arena to a nap room to a simulating running down the hill, slide. I mean, everything is first class, and it is all right there. I mean, you bring a kid, a recruit, into that facility to a place that doesn't really have much else going on, and you can simulate and give him that fantasy-type feeling for 3 to 4 hours during an unofficial visit, and a lot of kids are going to have a hard time saying no to that.
And Ryan, when I look at their schedule, and you are right about that, they are going to have a hard time saying no to the Clemson Tigers. But I look at their schedule also, and I look at, man, I mean, I'm trying to find someone on there that on this schedule that can challenge the Clemson Tigers when I look at their schedule.
Right. I like their odds a lot tomorrow night in Blacksburg. I think they've already beaten the hardest teams on their schedule with wins over Auburn, wins over Louisville in convincing fashion. So I think they go out there tomorrow night and really do a number on the Hokies and then probably go into the ACC title game undefeated. We'll see how they handle, injuries. But one stat that I took away from there, and I think their D coordinator, Brent Venables, is as good a defensive coordinator as you're going to find. That's a future head coach.
Yes.
And he told me 80% of their drives in their first four games haven't even crossed the 50-yard line.
Wow. See, Brent, well, you got to figure, Brent played at K-State when I was at the University of Kansas. So
we've
ran into each other quite a few times when it comes to playing this great game that we play.
But I love it. Two of my favorite people going at it.
You know it. Ryan, let's look at this thing, man. A lot of people had, when it came to the projection finishing of the ACC in the Atlantic Division, a lot of people had Florida State over Clemson.
Right, and I think that was a combination of two things. Florida State having DeAndre Francois, which is completely is a different outlook if they have their returning QB. And then Clemson losing their best player in school history, Deshaun Watson. You don't just lose him. Now, Clemson's been able to weather that a little bit because they're loaded at receiver. Kelly Bryant has shown he's a heck of a runner and a dual threat. And they have that defensive line that has four NFL first-round picks on it, including Dexter Lawrence and Christian Wilkins are our top three caliber picks. So that makes a lot of wrongs right.
All right. Now, tell me this. Can Louisville possibly sneak in and play in that and you know, challenge at some point with this thing? Be it may it go either way.
Now they're two games behind in that division, and they would need Clemson to lose twice, and
yes,
that's not going to happen. It's probably Clemson. I mean, keep an eye on NC State because they beat Florida State last year. They're off to a 3-1 start. They get Clemson in Raleigh around Halloween, and they pulled off that upset a couple times in the past, but. Yeah, it's probably looking like Clemson on that side of the division. The other side of the division, it could be the winner of tonight's game between Miami and Duke, but I'm sure Georgia Tech will be a factor in that as well as Virginia Tech.
And Georgia, is this, you know, because Miami, when Miami jumped into the ACC, Miami and Florida State, a lot of people thought that Miami and Florida State at that time would dominate the ACC.
Right. We thought it was going to be them playing against each other like 7 out of 10 years.
Yes, and let's look at and Miami, you thought would have dominated the ACC hands down, and that hasn't happened. Even in them being in the Coastal Division, with Virginia Tech, and Georgia Tech and North Carolina, seem like those guys has been the Achilles heels for Miami.
Right, it hasn't happened yet, but when they get that program right, and it seems to be trending that way, it'll happen pretty consistently.
Ryan, tell me about what's some of the schools you plan to look at in the next couple of upcoming weeks?
This week I'll be at Tennessee, Louisville, Kentucky, and Cincinnati before I head back to my home state in Wisconsin. Two other programs that I visited this week to touch on a little bit. Florida was my second stop, and you know, they have all the resources to be as good as anybody there, as we all know. I think the biggest thing that kind of is holding back the confidence there is they're still running that pro-style kind of Alabama offense that doesn't really fit their personnel. And there's a blueprint for that program that Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer laid down in terms of spread offense that not only appeals to recruits in Florida, but if you do that, as proven in the past, you probably are going to win every game and win the national title. And that's the thing that I think is kind of holding back their whole operation right now. In terms of Georgia, I was impressed, man. Kirby Smart, who was Nick Saban's right-hand man the last 10 years as his D coordinator, he has that thing as a potential machine. I mean, talk about a schedule where, I mean, I think they're going to absolutely destroy Tennessee tomorrow. They could have possibly 3 100-yard rushers in the same game with Nick Chubb and Sony Michel and DeAndre Swift. That's my best bet of the week. Georgia -8. I think they'll easily cover that. They'll probably cover that three times going forward. And Kirby Smart has that operation built just like Alabama. They're recruiting well. They're evaluating well. They're using their personnel well. And I think that's the team that's going to, you know, kind of represent the SEC East in the title game this year. Outside of Auburn and, I guess, Kentucky and Georgia Tech at the end, that's a team that could look at Alabama in that SEC title game, walk it in 11-1 or 12-0.
Now, Georgia going in into Rocky Talk and pretty much handles a Tennessee team. Where does that put Coach Butch Jones?
That puts him from fourth or fifth in the country on the hot seat to right there, like 1A, 1B, right up there with Todd Graham and Jim Mora and a couple of those guys out west. Just because he went in the season on the hot seat, and you lose a you barely beat Georgia Tech. You lose a heartbreaker and a Hail Mary to Florida. And then last week, I mean, a winless UMass team comes in there, and it's only 17-13 in Neyland Stadium. I mean, that can't happen. So, and then I'm telling you, it's not going to be pretty tomorrow, too, at 3:30, because the Dogs, what they do is run the ball well, and the Vols have not stopped the run now for they're going into last year, probably 10 games in a row, and they're banged up in their front seven, too. So it's not going to be pretty.
All right, Ryan, we gotta go. But just give me your – they're calling – let's give it – give me your top ACC picks of how you see the ACC is playing out. And then give me your – also on tonight's game, give me your prediction of who you think will win tonight's game.
Right. Well, ACC picks just for the weekend. I love Georgia Tech to beat North Carolina tomorrow. I love Clemson to go in there and really smack Virginia Tech. Tonight, I like Miami to cover at Duke. Duke's done a heck of a job, but I think Miami takes care of business there. A lot of the money is coming in right now for Washington State and Mike Leach to upset the Trojans. I'm still going to go with USC to cover tonight. I think Ronald Jones runs wild on them. And I'm going to leave on a point that you're going to love, Tony. I think our national player of the week, one of our favorites in the country from last week, is our guy, Khalil Herbert, for the Kansas Jayhawks.
Yes.
Nobody would
yes.
offer that kid, and he started for American Heritage and ran a 4-4, and Wisconsin wouldn't take a sniff on him. North Carolina wouldn't. Both programs, I thought, would love to have him right now. And he ran for over 300 yards last week against West Virginia, and I can speak on behalf of both of us. I know that warms our heart.
Listen, it was exciting for me to sit in my living room and watch this young man do what he did, because we knew in the early on of recruiting and that toward the end of recruiting that here is a kid, and this is what drives me nuts with right. with college recruiters when they come out. You miss on a kid. How could you miss on a kid like that? I'm quite sure now a lot of programs are kicking themselves in the butt in which they would have took, because he is that home run hitter. He is that home run hitter. But Ryan, I want to switch gears a little bit. When we look at this thing that's happening I'm hoping that what's happening in the NCAA basketball doesn't trickle down to our sport. Hope we can try to keep our sport as clean as that we can keep it when it comes to football in the 707s. But I got a call, a guy saying that, you know, this is possible. People need to look out when it comes to the 707s that's in the 707 programs, and they particularly named this great state of Florida.
Right. But you know what? I remember a time where the third parties were not involved. And it was just the high school program, the high school coach
yes.
and the kid. And
yes.
anytime I go to a high school, that's the protocol I've always worked
Correct.
At. And the high school, it'd be nice if it got back to that.
Right. Like I said, getting back to the – and that's one thing I can probably say with the way it's going now. Getting back to the days of when – high school coaches ran the recruiting process. I think
right.
those processes are dead because the money has risen so high, especially in the basketball realm. And then with the 707s, now you're adding more things to the pie, because now you added a 707 coach who has influence and
right.
who's dealing with this 707 coach. So now, but what I think is going to happen, I think the NCAA is going to say, you know what? Hey, listen. You can only talk to this person and that person. If those people can't be involved, then guess what? You better not be talking to him. You better not be talking to him, because we can see what has just happened. And a lot of people also, I'm quite sure, are going to run scared, Ryan, because guess what? They don't want to be on nobody's subpoena list. They don't want to be nobody's wiretap list. So I think this thing might get a little clinched up, but I think it goes in the direction that, guess what? It is time to start paying college athletes for their network, for what they're worth. This has got to be on the landscape, because, like I say, I get so sick of when people say that, Ryan, that oh, they got a football scholarship. They don't have a football scholarship, folks. Don't say they got a free ride. That's a lie. There's no ride free, because guess what? If you give me something free, you can't take it back. It's a free gift. But if you stop going to football practice, guess what happens? You don't have that scholarship anymore. So now, where are you at when you say that free education? I think we need to revamp what we call amateurism, because I think college basketball and major college football is not that amateurism. It is not that. And I think until they change the way this thing is being governed, this is not going to stop. It will not stop. I guarantee it's not going to stop. It'll go underground for a little while, but it's not going to stop. Because there's too much money right now that has been involved. It's going to be hard to tell a young high school athlete that's a five-star, one of the top cream of the crop, that guess what? The value in the money has stopped. Your buddy got $100,000 last year. You can't get nothing. That's going to be hard. That's going to be a hard one to swallow.
Right.
So, Ryan, we're closing here, man. Hey, listen, We'll chime in next week with you to check out the rest of your journey and see where you at. And then let's start, while you're in some of those places, let's look at some of that high school football and break down some of the games. If not, possibly get me some of those high school players we'll interview them on the show. Let them know that, guess what, South Florida want to show every state some love, because we are that top state. Hey, you know now, St. Thomas plays also now.
Right. How do you see that? In Arizona, where I'll be in 3 weeks.
Wow. 3 weeks. You talk about that as if you've been to get on a plane and take that trip to and fly there. But people understand, they're saying 3 weeks. What is he on, a train?
Rental cars.
Hey, listen, my man is journeying the world. He's getting opportunities to do what most of us want to do, and that's travel the world and see the world. Man, you enjoy your trip, Ryan. Hey, listen, hopefully, if St. Thomas wins this one, Ryan, you know that puts them with the possibility of that race for the national championship can pretty much be secure. But they got to come back here and they got to face a Deerfield team that is tough and hungry and ready to show the nation that, guess what, we belong in this national championship hunt.
Yeah, that's the showdown that we've been talking about for a few weeks now that's on deck coming up. So
it's coming on deck,
my man.
All right, buddy. Hey, listen, you guys enjoy the game tonight. I'm going to get ready to watch me some game. Then I'm going to go and, guess what, try to see could I watch American Made at somebody's theater. So, guess what?
Oh, nice.
Yes, I'm going to see American Made tonight, buddy.
That'll be sweet, man. Well, I got to watch the Canes and got to watch T. Martin dial it up, and then we'll get to American Made when there's no ball on.
I got you, buddy. Take it easy, man. You guys enjoy Atlanta. And I'll call and touch base with you in the week as you take your journey through the countryside. Enjoy, buddy. We're closing out here on the Tony Sands Show live from the Zoo Gym. We're going to close with this soundbite because I want to continue to put this in your head about what's going on in college basketball. It is corrupt. We got to change it. We got to move toward paying these guys, because if we don't pay them, guess what? This thing ain't going to change. The corruption is going to continue. College basketball is in a state of emergency. Pay the players, and you ain't got to worry about the tennis shoes companies paying them. Whereas we close out here on the Tony Sands Show each and every week, Monday night, we'll be live at Cooper City High School looking at what? More high school football. So we're live at Cooper City High School next Monday at 6 to 7 as we do the pregame show to kick it off. We're going to see, guess what? The first female quarterback to ever throw a touchdown in a high school game. Join us then as we bring her to you here on the Tony Sands Show. We close out. We're gone.
Experts say this is only the tip of the iceberg.
Beneath that March Madness veneer is this dark underbelly of men's college basketball. Where do these schools draw the line?
The NCAA president issued a statement essentially calling out the accused as being out of bounds, saying these bribery allegations, if true, suggest an extraordinary and despicable breach of trust. Goes without saying.
No. Yeah, and this is just the start, I'm sure.
It is.
A lot more to go.
All right, guys.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like to get more videos, show highlights, and watch live event coverage, click on the right over here to subscribe to our channel. And don't forget to download the ABC News app for breaking news alerts. Thanks for watching.